Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Do it for this segment.
All right, Rod.
Howdy, Canada. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show. It is episode number 162, by the way. Canada's only live morning sports talk show, and it has been lively. If you're just tuning in, maybe you're just listening to Hour 2 of the podcast, there was breaking news this morning from the Canadian Football League. Yeah, it was broken yesterday by Dave Naylor. The Touchdown Atlantic would feature the Rough Riders and the Argonauts July 25th in Touchdown Atlantic. But the CFL went deeper today. And I never did read the news releases. I said that I would, but I can paraphrase. This is going to be the biggest Touchdown Atlantic ever. It's all about wording, don't you know? Three-day mini Grey Cup festival. All the rest. So we're going to be kicking that around with the boys. We'll be talking more about that tomorrow on a Football Friday. The hot and delicious topic today, which has led to our poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, is should the CFL have an all-star game? And between Facebook and Twitter, it's around 50-50. And I'm just welcoming all our new viewers that aren't aware of what we talked about earlier on in the show. I shouldn't speak for you, Darren, but you thought it would be a landslide yes. People would say, of course they would want an all-star game. Why wouldn't they? And I said, no, it'll be 50-50 at best.
Yeah.
Only because we've been talking about this for decades.
Yep.
And a lot of people have been writing in, including our good friend Leo Esrins of the CFL Alumni Association, executive director, who said, among other people have said, the last time they did this was in the early 80s. So it's been over 30 years since the CFL's even tried this. So I welcome in Austin Davis, post-media digital guru. How are you, Austin?
I'm good, Roddy. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for having me on.
As always, it's been too long. People have been asking for you, by the way. So
that's crazy.
That's good. The RP bump, as you say,
is taking off.
That's going around, too.
I love it.
You come on this show, you get a bump. In life, Mike Benavides comes on this show. Voila, he's the defensive coordinator of the Ottawa Redblacks. Who are the Atlee Simon plays in our All-Star game. Voila, signs with the Riders. Ooh. Larry Fitzgerald sits on our desk, gets a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
You coined the phrase, Austin.
Magic. No. The RP bump.
There's more. We didn't even realize it. So I was saying Ozzie Weisblatt, we put him on the desk. Now all of a sudden he's projected first round pick. Kirby Dach, this is even more crazy. We get the bobblehead. A day later, it's his birthday, and he scores on a beautiful backhand up in the top shelf to snap a lengthy goal drought. We put him on the desk.
RP bump.
He gets the RP bump.
Austin coined
Fantastic.
The phrase.
That's magic. I love that Dach bobblehead, too. And the Fitzgerald one, he bought a minority stake
in the Phoenix Suns.
Geez, he loves it down there. Hey, I see that bobblehead he's wearing.
Have you been to Arizona?
Man, you guys were ambassadors for me.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
I didn't get down there.
It's Disneyland.
I wasn't invited, right?
It's Disneyland for me. It's my favorite place to go.
That's awesome.
So on the All-Star thing.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Because the problem that you came in here, you missed what we were talking about in hour one.
I was listening.
Well, everybody wants to say why it won't work.
Yeah.
And that's just such a mentality that has bogged down the CFL, frankly, for 100 years. How about let's talk about why it will work? You know?
True. But the Pro Bowl doesn't work, necessarily, like in my opinion. And looking at the comments, I think there are some people that agree with me that the Pro Bowl is a snooze. Guys, why play at a high level when there's really nothing to play for? So, and football is a game driven by caring, right? Fighting harder than the guy across from you. And so when you take that away and you just make it a red carpet appearance, oof, you kill the game of football. Like, it's not interesting to me at all. I like your idea of flag. I like your idea of flag football a lot. That's exciting. That's kind of what the NHL is trying to do with the 3-on-3.
Right. They're not going to hit anybody on the weekend.
It's fun.
No, they won't hit anybody.
Make it fun. But I totally understand where Dupes was coming from off the top, that you thought it was the fans were going to say overwhelmingly yes.
Because they're not worried about
the
logistics.
They love this league.
They're not worried about
the players. Of course they want to see more.
Yeah. I think, you know, we missed the point in the All-Star games a little bit. You know, we all think they're snooze fests, and that's fine. Because we love the game. We love watching the games. But I don't know that an All-Star game is put on for you and me. We're already bought in. We don't need the All-Star. We know who the guys
are. It's for marketing.
It's for marketing, and it's for the kids. Mm-hmm. And the kids love that stuff. They love the trick plays. They love the guys trying new things, things you'd never see in a game, the kind of goofing around. They love it. They love seeing the players show off their skills. You know, when we watched the skills competition in hockey, you got to see them doing the targets. And all I wanted to do was do targets to the point where I'd hang T-shirts on the corner of my neck because I don't have targets. You know, and now they're bringing out the mini sticks and doing video game stuff and doing dances from Fortnite because it's what the kids are into. And, yeah, it might not seem like the game's, it's, you know, for football, it's a snooze fest. Yeah. For the kids, they love it. And they're the next generation of season ticket holders.
If you make it fun, if you throw in that twist on it, because like 12 on 12, 13 on 13, whatever, it's that. But that's a snooze when you take away the meaning of a game.
And I know we think it's crazy when Russell Wilson, you know, flips the ball to a receiver and he flips it to an offensive lineman who throws the football. We're sitting there being like, that's not football. That's never going to happen. The kids are like, this is awesome, you know, because they're thinking that they got a shot because the guy's, you know, at 12 years old, is a little overweight and his, you know, Kinsman coach put him on the offensive line. He's like, I could throw the football. So he wants, like, the kids love that stuff. I think it's more about that.
Would, Randy, hang on, I'm going to get to your comment in a second, but would the CFL teams just stop this right out of the gate? Because of the chance of injury. A flag game. Just a flag game.
Probably. I mean, Darian Durant's ACL was a non-contact injury, right? That doesn't necessarily take away the risk, especially with a quarterback. The non-contact injuries, as we know, are often worse because that's a tear. And so you don't necessarily mitigate the risk by making it fun, no tackling, no headshots, none of that. There's still a risk, and I and the timing matters. You guys have been talking about that all day. Is when do you do it? Because the Pro Bowl time is awful. The players from the two best teams aren't there.
Right.
And like straight off the top,
Patrick Mahomes isn't in the Pro Bowl.
Who doesn't want to see Mahomes even in the skill comp?
Exactly.
Right? Like that. Yeah. That's the fun. So like the timing of the Pro Bowl, I think, sucks. So if the CFL were to really push this, I think CFL week, as you were saying, is probably the closest. But it's at the start of the year. So what do you guys think? Do you take last year's All-Stars? Or what do you think for selection?
You have a fan vote all winter.
100% fan
vote?
Wow.
And then you're doing it at Mark's CFL week. And maybe you have it in Victoria. Or maybe you have it in Ottawa. You could play a flag game at an indoor facility. You're probably not going to get 30,000, sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't need to be a gigantic facility.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing. The teams will automatically be against this. Absolutely. Doesn't matter. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. General Manager, we're doing it.
Yeah. And I hear what you were saying about having it in Victoria, or like on the island where it's warmer, you could have it outside. But we saw with CFL week. When was it most successful? The 2 years it was here. Right.
Well, it was in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg.
Right.
On the prairies.
Wasn't it here? Wasn't it in Regina twice? Just
Saskatchewan once and Winnipeg.
Okay.
Once.
All right.
I hit in both places.
Was it? It was top notch in Winnipeg. All right.
Well, actually, put on your headphones, gentlemen. James Sobalski joins us from Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver Radio and the host of the Waggle Podcast. Been far too long since I've visited with this gentleman. We go back a very long ways. Do we have him, guys?
How you doing, Rod?
Okay, I'm doing great, James. I thought this was video. The guys didn't tell me that it's audio. James, we're talking, first of all, about the CFL potentially having an all-star game. Are the viewer vote here is 50-50. Where would you vote on that, and why?
I don't see it working. I mean, I think when the players get behind it, yes. I think any opportunity to make more money, sure. Would it draw? Maybe. You know, and it's funny because some people would be skeptical about. I just wonder if you're playing already a 20-game season, or sorry, an 18-game season. Does it make sense? Like, I'm still surprised the Pro Bowl is still going, to be quite honest with you. With the idea of, like, all the talk of health and safety surrounding the game of pro football, and that they're talking about adding another game. And I get it, it's not a blow-up sort of, you know, NFL blitz style like the old video game, but I don't know. I just don't know if there's an appetite for it. And that late in the season, here's the other thing, Rod. You know, it's already cold. It's wintertime in most of the country. You know, where do you do it? How do you hold it? Do you do it during Grey Cup week? Is there an appetite to do it midweek? I don't see it. Logistically, it feels complicated.
You know, I'm glad you said that, James. It's very interesting. And these are the reasons that I said to Darren, you'll be a lot more people voting no than you think. And let me ask you this. You're a guy waving the CFL flag in Vancouver. What are the challenges associated with that, A? And B, we were talking that if we did do an all-star game, it would be on potentially Vancouver Islands, plus eight there today. You could actually do it. But first of all, what's it like waving the CFL flag in Vancouver? Easy or not so easy?
It's incredibly hard right now. I mean, it's borderline apathetic, the CFL. And we talk often in the last, how many years have we talked about the struggle and the challenge that Toronto has had, you know, in the Canadian Football League, and that the Canadian Football League has had in the market of Toronto, right? The Argos have an amazing stadium. They might have the best stadium, and with all due respect to Mosaic, like, they've got a high-end facility that, you know, BMO Field in Toronto, and, you know, it's been nicely managed, it's a nice size, more intimate, you know, Mosaic's great, you look at the model where Investors Field and in Winnipeg, you know, Tim Hortons in Hamilton, all these newer stadiums in the CFL, and, like, the Argos can't draw. The Lions have a problem. Number one is BC Play Stadium. It's a 60,000-seat dome stadium that is simply way too big for the market of Vancouver. And secondly, you know, I mean, this is a Canucks town first and foremost, and pretty much at the end of that. But, you know, the Lions have just struggled with relevancy. It's almost like they built the new stadium, or when they renovated BC Play Stadium in 2011, you know, it was this dream sort of finish in 2011 that they, you know, come back from the big losing skid, they win the Grey Cup, and everybody rides off into the sunset happy. So it was almost like the bookend of, well, you know what, the cup run didn't work out so well for the Canucks that year, but we got a Grey Cup at the end of the year. Last year was the Olympics, and I'm almost like people have been done with the CFL since. They struggle with attendance again this year. Obviously, the record was an issue, but, you know, Mike Riley didn't really help sell tickets as hoped. And, you know, sparse crowds. You're seeing crowds well under 20,000 now. And I don't know if they'll find a day where there's a relevancy to that football team until they get out of BC Place, because it is not an enticing place to go watch the CFL anymore.
James, yeah, and that's the million-dollar question, is how do you make the league, you know, the it thing for the younger generation so that they want to buy tickets? How do we make it popular again with the younger generation?
Well, you know, that's the bazillion-dollar question that has been ongoing for, what, the last 20 years, and we keep hearing that, well, you know, they skipped a generation. Straight up, I'm 45 years old. And I am right on that cut line of the generation that people are 50-50 on the CFL. Older generation, yes. Younger generation, no. And I look at it like at my radio station here in Vancouver at Sportsnet 650, you know, everybody, you know, all the younger guys outside of maybe one or two, Scott Rintoul, who used to be the voice of the Lions, who works with us, you know, Scott's a CFL guy, Andrew Walker will talk a little bit. Walks from Saskatchewan, so obviously he's got love for the CFL as well to a degree. But, you know, pretty much everybody else, you know, they're all guys in their early 30s, and none of them like the CFL. I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, an investment with gambling. I mean, guys love betting. You know, you've got to find a way to increase that. I know they've tried to create fantasy football games in recent years. Maybe that's something that, you know, you got to increase in that. But, you know, stars sell, and players, I wonder this, and I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and they made a really good point that, you know, the CFL has struggled with star power in recent years, and a lot of those great quarterbacks that used to find their way up here in the Canadian Football League, Rod, you can probably speak to this way better than I can. Those guys are all now prototype NFL players now. Russell Wilson would have been a CFL guy 20 years ago, right? Kyler Murray would have been a CFL quarterback 20 years ago. You know, Baker Mayfield. You know, all these guys that are, you know, RG3, you know, and obviously he had health issues, but so many quarterbacks that were kind of on the smaller side that could run like the wind and were great athletes, they didn't necessarily get the look in the NFL that they deserved. Now the way that the game has changed, you know, the run-pass option is so important, and, you know, the great athletes are now becoming the quarterbacks more and more, as opposed to the traditional drop-back passer that the NFL long clamored for the first, what, 40 years of existence. The game has changed, and I think, unfortunately, the CFL has kind of suffered as a result of the NFL's game.
You know, it's so funny you said that. You've just given us a topic for the next hour. I won't keep you around for, but the biggest stars in the CFL upcoming now, Cody Fajardo, Nick Arbuckle, even a Matt Nichols, they're all 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". So it's like they're behind what the NFL's been doing, which is exactly what James is saying. But it's not like you don't get enough talking about the Canucks, James, but I got to say this. We had your boy Rick Dhaliwal on here a few weeks ago, and he didn't see any way that the Canucks could just get a foothold in the Western Conference standings or the Pacific Division. And now here we sit at the All-Star break, and they're number one in the division. What the hell has happened with the Vancouver Canucks in the last month?
Well, you know what? Funny how things go. 5 weeks ago, people in this market were screaming, fire Travis Green, fire Jim Benning. The Canucks went on a seven-game win streak to help change that narrative. They lost two, and they bounced back, winning four of their next five. So they've won 11 of their last 14, and it's amazing how tight it is. Like, if they lose to San Jose last Saturday, the final game before they go into the bye week and the All-Star break, you know, they're on the outside looking in at a playoff spot. The West is bananas right now. Like, after St. Louis, there's essentially 2 points that separates eight teams. You know, and I'm talking about Colorado and Dallas and Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary and Vegas and Arizona. Look, the difference for Vancouver this year, they obviously went out and spent in the offseason to try to address some needs. They needed to get better on their back end. They've gotten significantly better, and a big reason for that has been the revelation of Quinn Hughes. You know, likely a Rookie of the Year candidate, could be in the eyes of a few. I know, including Brian Burke, saying that he's their Rookie of the Year. He's been such a game-changer for this back end, a mobile, puck-moving defenseman that the Canucks have been around for 50 years. They've never really had a guy quite like this. And he's playing 22 minutes a night as a rookie. It's remarkable what he's doing. Secondly, Jacob Markstrom, after 6 years, has become a legit goaltender. He has become a difference maker for this hockey club. He has been an all-star, and rightly so, this season. And he's a pending unrestricted free agent, so the Canucks are going to have to pony up this year. It's a good year to have a contract year, to have a career year when you're in your contract year. But you know what? The Canucks are benefiting from that. Elias Pettersson's obviously, you know, he's a special player up front. But Bo Horvat's finally woken up in the last month as well. So now they're starting to spread out the offense. They gave up a first-rounder to get JT Miller last year, and that has worked out really, really well for Vancouver through the first 50 games of the season. So Quinn Hughes, Jacob Markstrom, and spread out scoring. Guys starting to realize their potential. Jake Virtanen's on pace for 20 goals this season. And, you know, he looked like a big whiff when they took him sixth overall in 2014. And it took a long time, but he's starting to finally show that he can be the player that they hoped he could be.
Awesome. Well, James, that's a very good Vancouver Canucks update. My last question is, I miss seeing your face. How are things in your world? Are you good?
I'm excellent, man. I'm doing great. I've got, I think I might be the most annoying man in the province of British Columbia right now with an ad campaign for a natural gas company that had been running for the last 4 months. Outside of that, about a year ago, it was announced that I was the new play-by-play voice for the NHL video game from Electronic Arts, from EA Sports. So to be part of a very select group that's included Doc Emrick, Jim Houston, Gary Thorne, and to be part of that and to be part of a video game that I grew up playing and now to be the voice of it, it is just a dream come true, and I'm actually on my way to go do another voice session for the video game there now. So that's been a lot of fun, you know, having a chance to work with Snoop Dogg for the video game and working alongside Ray Ferraro. It's a pleasure, and aside from that, Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9, Sportsnet 650 is where you can find me, Hot Rod. How are you doing?
I am on top of the world. On top of the world, James. I'm having a lot of fun in life, too. So I'm glad to hear you say that. And I got to make my way out to BC this spring, so I'll shoot you a note. And by the way, I can name five more annoying people than you in Vancouver or BC, starting with Andrew Walker. So don't worry too much about that, man. Just keep crushing it.
Rod, Dhaliwal's number one on that list. Walker would be number two or a 1A. But, yeah, that's a good start right there.
All right. Thanks, James.
Cheers.
James Cebulski joining us from Sportsnet 650. And by the way, where we when I say we go back, remember the score?
Yeah.
We worked together on the score national television almost 20 years ago now.
Wow.
And we're good friends from that. And I'm sorry, Austin. What were you going to ask him?
I just wanted to know how long it takes to record all that stuff for the video game.
Well,
like if he's still doing it, I wonder how many sessions he's doing.
Oh, he'll be doing a lot.
That's tons. Like, you got to record all the names and like all the different variations.
It would take
variations.
A while.
Jeez, like that's very intense.
Well, EA Sports, I believe, is based in Vancouver, so he'd be heading right in. I just remember this. We got to roll, but back when I used to play video games... Once you have kids, neither of you would know about that. You kind of don't have a lot of time for video games. But I remember playing against Scruffy, and it was the Medicine Hat Tigers against the Regina Pats. We're playing on EA Sports, and it was Gary Thorne was calling the game.
Yeah,
and he's like, Gary Thorne, so long from Moose. No, it was Medicine Hat. It was Medicine Hat versus Regina. He goes, so long from Medicine Hat. And Scruffy turned to me and goes, like Gary Thorne would ever get caught dead in Medicine Hat.
No. And it's funny because those sessions, that's exactly how they work. So he's got a piece of paper, Medicine Hat, Regina, Saskatoon. And it's all a code.
It's the way
so
he said
long
it.
From Saskatoon. So long, you know, so it's
so
pretty cool.
So long from Medicine Hat. It was just so funny the way that he said. We'll be back. We're a little long on segment one. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Thursday morning sports update. In one of two NHL games scheduled on the final night before the All-Star game, the Winnipeg Jets continued their struggles Wednesday. They lost 4-3 to the Columbus Blue Jackets for their fourth straight loss. The Raptors continued their winning ways. They won their fifth in a row by defeating rival Philadelphia 107-95. Later tonight, Pascal Siakam could become an NBA All-Star for the first time. The announcement of the All-Star captains and starters is scheduled to take place on TNT's NBA tip-off. Spicy P, who's averaging career highs in points, rebounds, and assists, sat second in fan voting in the Eastern Conference behind the Greek Freak. Brooke Henderson of Smith Falls, Ontario, will look to build off her top five showing at last week's first event of the season when she tees off today during the Gainbridge LPGA's first round from Boca Raton, Florida. Hamilton's Alina Sharp will also be in the field. And on the PGA Tour, Tiger Woods will play in his first event of the new year at the Farmers Insurance Open from Torrey Pines Golf Club in San Diego. Michael Glickick of Burlington is sees there. Mackenzie Hughes of Dundas, Ontario, and Weyburn's Graham DeLatt are the other Canadians in the field. This sports update for SeatJoint.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RP Show and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, see it Wendell's. Well, we just keep the show rolling here. Are we going to Dean Millard now? Okay. So, Austin, just remind me. Actually, Dean, he's going to just watch this for a second. On the Raptors thing, because I said I want to talk about the Raptors. Yes. It was point two of my Magnificent Seven show topics I wanted to get to. You're all in on the Raptors. You have been for a while.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that we're a bandwagon country? Because nowhere do I see any Raptors stuff ever. Even you hear people talk about it around here. But on the run, it was like people have been with the Raptors since day one, 1995. Does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me if you support the team. Like the imposter, like if you act like you're from day
like
one.
You know it
yeah,
all,
if
yeah.
you act like you're from day one, that bugs me a little bit. But if you're, say, hey, I just started watching basketball because of this Raps run. Well, welcome aboard.
You're like, be honest about it.
Yeah, just be honest. I think that's fair to ask because, yeah, if you're trying to talk like you know the whole history of the team and everything and you suffered through those bad years, because I barely paid attention when the Raps were first started, right? Vince,
You were a kid. What year were you born in?
89. So, yeah, I would have...
You were six.
I was six. But I remember being captivated, like our whole country was, by Vince Carter, mm-hmm. right? That was probably the start of my awareness of the Toronto Raptors. Although I think I liked the Grizzlies, too.
Right.
Just Canadian basketball and was aware of it. And then it built into a thing. Wasn't a big Chris Bosh fan, but that team got really exciting when they were led by DeMar and Kyle. And just kind of the Masai Ujiri years have been pretty magical, really. And
they've been through a lot of crap to get to where they are, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that, and it's still interesting because people can and have made the argument that the team sold its soul for a championship, right? And you can make that argument. I don't know. I know there was hope that Kawhi Leonard wouldn't be one and done, but he's a mercenary, and he might be the best mercenary to ever play the game of basketball.
Well, there's some interesting things there to bring in Dean Millard. I will say legendary Edmonton broadcaster. Is this video? Do we have Dino on video? There he is. Dino, great to see you, my man. How are things up in the northern Alberta, the Alberta capital?
Well, it's not minus 50 anymore, Rod, so it's really nice. I mean, yesterday, minus 10, minus 15, felt like it was spring already.
You take it, exactly. So you see what we're talking about. We got a lot of topics to get to with you, Dino. What is the Raptors? I mean, I don't see the hype around here. People aren't talking about the games. But, I mean, last spring you would have thought that we were all born and bred Raptors fans. What's it like in Edmonton right now for Raptors mania?
I think Raptor fever is still in pretty good effect out here in the western part of the country. I think a lot more people are watching the Raptors regular season games this year than they were last year. Obviously, that shot that Kawhi made brought a lot of Raptor fans on board during the playoffs. But I think, in a strange way, the Raptors are more exciting this year than they were last year. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is an amazing player, but is he as exciting as Pascal Siakam? I don't think so. He's a much better player than Pascal Siakam, but the excitement level is a little bit different and almost a little bit better this year because last year they didn't get a lot of respect. And, you know, they hadn't really done anything. Now I think they're getting a lot of respect south of the border, and that makes Canadians, I think, a little bit more proud But this is an interesting team. You know, what do they do with they've got a lot of money signed up in a few players, and everybody is looking towards the Greek Freak becoming a free agent. And who brought Giannis Antetokounmpo to the NBA? Masai Ujiri. I think the Raptors are going to be moving a lot of pieces around in the future to bring in the Greek Freak. And coming off of a championship, and if they do that in a couple of years, it's going to be amazing. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to play for the Raptors. You have an entire country behind you when it comes to playoff time.
Now, I know that's what the Raptors marketing people say when they go to league meetings is we play on national television every game.
But they did last year in the playoffs. Like, the whole country did get on board.
Yeah. Right, but they're not now. At least not here. So that was my question. Now, secondly, moving on, because I'm going to get to the Battle of Alberta thing. Everybody wants your take on that. But our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, should the CFL have an all-star game? It's about 50-50 from our respondents. What would be your answer to that and why?
I would say yes, just based on the sole fact that you could have a CFL festival type weekend and get a whole lot of fans together, player interaction, almost like a mini Grey Cup, but with some of the best players. As far as the game, I don't care. The Pro Bowl is the worst all-star festivity type game in the history. I mean, you're playing a tackle game, two-hand touch, basically. Like, what is the point of linemen and everybody else and D linemen? Like, what is the point of Nick or Joey Bosa going to the Pro Bowl? They're not going to hurt a quarterback. The actual football, you know what? I would be in favor of, if the CFL did that, make the All-Star game a flag football game, because nobody wants to get hurt in an All-Star game. Ask the Oilers a number of years ago when Sean Horkoff got hurt and their season went down the drain. You don't want to get hurt at an All-Star game. So for a festival, I'm totally on board. I think it's great. For the actual game, I don't really care. I would actually, instead of a game, rather just see them do a skills competition of different skills with the best players.
I think we kind of zeroed in on that. If we were going to do it, it would have to be a flag football game for sure. And I think pair it with Mark's CFL week and you have a win.
There you go.
How the CFL feels about that. Now, to the Battle of Alberta, we've had viewers writing in today about what do we think will happen on January 29th. I think nothing will happen. And that was before even that the league got involved and sternly warned both teams to not do anything. What's the hype like up there as we're a week out from the game?
Well, it's obviously died a little bit as the Oilers haven't played in a while, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens at the All-Star game. Leon Draisaitl, when asked after that situation where it got out of hand between Tkachuk and Cassian, said he would get off the ice if he was paired with Matthew Tkachuk at the All-Star game. Now, that's maybe heat of the moment, but it does stir the pot. And Rod, this is the best the Battle of Alberta has been in probably 30 years, the most competitive, because the Oilers and Flames sucked at different times, one or the other. Now we have some passion. And what fuels this passion for the Battle of Alberta even more than it did 30 years ago is social media. I mean, Flames fans putting up a billboard, Oilers Nation making red turtle t-shirts, people going back and forth. It's really good. As for the game, I do think something is going to happen. I do think Matthew Tkachuk is going to sort of have to answer if Zach Cassian calls him out. But I wouldn't be doing that. I would not worry about Tkachuk. I would not worry about Lucic. I would not worry about anybody. I would worry about Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm. Make Tkachuk, make Giordano, make Lucic if he's on the ice. Make them respond to you. All the time between Cassian and Tkachuk, going back to last year, it was Tkachuk doing something, Cassian responding. Why don't the Oilers do it the other way and make the Flames respond and see what Matthew Tkachuk is like in a role where he's not the one dictating it? I mean, sorry, Rod, you go back to that hit, and those hits were being suspended for guys like Steve Downey and Rafi Torres in the past, and now all of a sudden that hit is legal, as Zach Cassian said. I don't think it's going to be as nasty as everybody thinks, but I think we will see Cassian and Tkachuk engage in that game.
Dean, Austin Davis here. How you doing?
Good.
$65,000 raised between those two billboards. Endless attention for the past week or so. Now that the dust has settled a bit and we're kind of at a good point, I think, to measure what has happened before we look at next week's game. Now that the dust has settled, who do you think won this, maybe in the court of public opinion?
Okay, well, yeah, I would say in the court of public opinion, the Oilers are ahead, I guess you would say. It never looks bad when you dish something out and turtle. That's just a bad look. You saw it from countless former NHL players that came out and said, this guy's got to answer for this. You can't be throwing those hits and then turtling. So I think in the court of public opinion, the Oilers are ahead, but the Flames won the game. Tkachuk was there for the game-winning goal. On the scoreboard, Cassian gets suspended. The Flames win the game. But in the court of public opinion, as you asked, I think it's on the Oilers' side. I think turtling is a bad look. Now, having said that, if for some reason Matthew Tkachuk was traded to the Oilers tomorrow, you know how many Matthew Tkachuk jerseys would be sold? Like, everybody wants this type of player on their team. They just hate playing against him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like the billboard that was put up in Edmonton. Yeah, it didn't have his face on. I don't think that matters. It's fun because we have that hate in the game again. Radio hosts can go back and forth. You can get a little bit more of that. You know, we got to stir some more stuff up, don't we?
I think so. Like, listen, I understand the NHL does not want another Bertuzzi-Moore situation. And
nobody
listen,
does.
I don't expect that to happen. And that's why the NHL has to step in and put out their warnings. But in the heat of the battle, you're telling me Zach Cassian is going to think, the NHL said I shouldn't do this. No, I'm just going to keep feeding noogies to Matthew Tkachuk or whoever it is. In the heat of the battle, they're going to go. And I think, you know, depending on who you believe, the Flames may have talked to Matthew Tkachuk about answering. I think something is going to happen. It might not be, the shredding of a jersey with a skate like it was during the 80s between the Oilers and the Flames when you had all those massive tough guys. But I do think there'll be fireworks, and I think that the Oilers should instigate those fireworks, not with Tkachuk, but with those other guys I mentioned.
One of the opinions floating around was that it should be first thing that happens on the ice, that to Tkachuk or Cassian, like this is a before the whistle blows type glove drop situation. Do you think the league statement eliminates that possibility?
Yeah, I don't think these guys are dumb. I think that they drop the gloves right off the bat. They know there's going to be fines, but they let the game sink in for a few minutes, not right off the bat. Then I can say, it was a passion situation. But I think these guys are smart enough not to drop the gloves right off the bat because all eyes are watching. And really, how, like, the NHL might be saying, don't do this, guys, wink, wink. I mean, this is the biggest game in January in a long time in the NHL. I think it's been bumped to a national game now. It's the first game out of the break. They could not have asked for a better start to the second half after the All-Star game. So I know the NHL doesn't want to get out of hand, but I don't think they would mind if some stuff happened to, because people always say it's a build-up to nothing. I don't think the NHL will mind if a little bit happened.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could plan it that way, which I don't expect is, right? Hey, lastly, you had Gene Principe on your show. Mm-hmm. We get all the Oilers games here. Dean, as you worked here. You know that we're in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL, right in the middle of Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. So we see Gene every Oilers game. You call him the nicest guy in the business. Were you just buttering up or explain why you would say that?
He is literally the nicest man you will meet. I asked him, do you ever get mad? And obviously he said he does, but he has time for everybody. He is a kind man. Dude, I phoned him one time when I was at CKX TV in Brandon trying to get out of there to ask him about my resume tape. He answered the phone during a movie to talk to me. I mean, who else answers their phone in a movie but the nicest guy in media? But I have a really quick story to tell you what Gene told me yesterday. When he was about 18 or 19, there used to be a gentleman's club across the street from then Northlands Coliseum. And Gene, being of age, was in the gentleman's club. And
the Forum.
The Forum, that's right. And he ran into the greatest of all time, Wayne Gretzky. Now, they were both looking away from the stage, Gene said. But Gene hustled up and said, hey, what about this Mike Krusielniski guy? Do you think he's going to be good? You just got him from Boston. And apparently Gretzky said, yeah, he's going to be on my line. So Gene waited a few rounds, drafted Krusielniski, and won his hockey pool that year thanks to hockey pool advice from the GOAT in a gentleman's club. I mean, how much better is that story?
bringing people together. I like it.
That's right.
Yes. Dino, thanks, my man. Enjoy the game next week and keep in touch.
Thanks as always, guys. Take care.
Dean Millard joining us from Edmonton, Podcast Alley from the 12-Ounce Sports Network. We'll pause when we come back. Our Sask Snowbeef Double UHL Prospect of the Week. Ooh. Don't forget that. Still plenty to come. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
We are back in action, everybody. Don't forget, Sports on Tap still coming up on the program today, plus overtime. But every Thursday, we profile a WHL prospect, whether it be a pro prospect, a dub prospect, you name it. Throw it up, Clark, if you don't mind, for our friends at Sask Snow Beef. It is a superior Wagyu beef. That's what Sask Snow Beef's all about. And today, we are profiling Regina's Alex Canik-Liepert of the Vancouver Giants of the Western League, a sixth-round pick of the Washington Capitals, played AAA with the Pac Canadians, named captain of the Vancouver Giants for the 1920 WHL season. The scouting report from Giants broadcaster Dan O'Connor is that Alex is a gritty, versatile player that brings an invaluable amount of leadership to the Giants, provides big minutes in all situations. So number 41 of the Vancouver Giants, Alex Canik-Liepert, Regina kid playing for the Giants. And thank you to Sask Snowbee for profiling these players. And thank you, Alex, for what you're doing. Keep going out there for Vancouver. So Austin Davis here. It's interesting. I thought this Raptors thing, you wear their gear and stuff, but I didn't realize that you are all in.
Yes. Yeah,
what's your wildest Raptor fan story? You've obviously been to see them, I assume, some.
Yeah.
To Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah. I went to see the playoff game, not last year, the year before, the second round against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right.
We were there for game two when LeBron hit the going the wrong way fader at the buzzer to put the.
But at least you could say you were there.
Yeah, we were there. And we were there in Jurassic Park outside. It was still Air Canada Center before Scotia. We were at Jurassic Park for game three. Oh, no, it was game three that was the floater. Yeah, the game two was a blowout. Because, so we were there for the sweep.
I just find it interesting because I asked Austin in the break, did you play basketball growing up? Is that why you're a basketball fan? Vis-a-vis in our family, our daughters were basketball players. Mm. And for that reason, they're big NBA fans. Yep. I never played basketball. I'm an NBA fan, but I'm not hardcore. I'm not getting on a plane to go watch the Raptors anywhere. If they're in a city that I happen to be in, I'll go to the game.
Yep.
But baseball, I grew up playing baseball as much as hockey. Saskatchewan kid. Baseball in the summer, hockey in the winter. Usually how it goes. But I've so drifted away from baseball. Point being, you don't necessarily have to have played it to be a fan of it. Fair, Darren?
Yeah, super fair. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I played basketball for 1 year in high school. Loved it. It was so much fun. But yeah, I can be a fan when the Raptors are doing well and they're in the playoffs. And I love watching, March Madness. And I like watching NBA playoff basketball or for games on. But yeah, just because you didn't play, just doesn't mean you can't.
And I know that's a dumb point by me to make, just so much as trying to understand the game. I mean, our kids were playing on club teams. We're down in the States in tournaments in Phoenix and Vegas, and I'm saying, how come the game's different down here than in Canada? They're calling different rules. Well, you can get away with over the back down here, but you can't in Canada. Blah, blah, blah. What? Or travel. We'll let you away with four steps, but not two steps. And I just found it very hard, because if I'm going to be a fan of a game, I want to know what the hell's going on.
See,
Is that fair?
I find it easier to understand than a game like baseball, which I also grew up playing, and I umpired, so I know the rules of baseball very, very well. But when I watch basketball with somebody compared to watching baseball, if somebody asks me a question about baseball, it's tough to get my answer down to under 2 minutes, whereas basketball, the rules are pretty straightforward. You know, like sometimes the judgment call stuff, block, charge, some of that, you just go, well, flip a coin. But with baseball, gee, like, can you explain an infield fly in under 2 minutes?
The other thing is it's different rules in amateur and pro too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The infield fly rule is an example of that. Brady in Saskatoon writes in and he says, hey, Rod, ever heard of Luka Doncic? He should be the MVP this season. The kid's insane. Well, yes, I've heard of him because I know how to say it. He plays with the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. I do follow it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not super into it. That's all. But I certainly know who Luka Doncic is. And when I say I watch ESPN every morning, they're cramming the NBA down your throat every day.
Yeah. You're going to see some Luka highlights.
You're going to see Luka Doncic because I watch ESPN. But back to this whole CFL discussion, if I may. And that's why I'm actually so interested in having Austin in here, because he's working in digital media with Post Media, with the Leader Post and the Saskatoon Star Phoenix. And that's why I find it fascinating. Sports media coverage. That's what gets my juices flowing. That's what I could talk about all day, every day. And the WHL, you said it yourself, there isn't as big an appetite for it as there used to be. And the WHL, frankly, has just slid off the page of the conscience of sports fans in Western Canada. It just happened. And I see it happening with the CFL. And I just want to stand up and say, if I have any say in the matter, I'm not going to allow that to happen to the CFL, because it's going the same way as the WHL. But there's not a whole lot we can do about it other than be here every day, talking about the topics, having polls, getting people engaged. I see David Benefield on Facebook all the time. Love Mr. Furious. He's almost in tears, wondering why nobody where he lives in BC cares about the CFL. And Rider fans have written in and saying, hey, Dave, Rod's got a great show. And Dave Benefield said, Rod gets it. Rod's doing it. But the media out here is so far behind, they don't get it. And I guess, Jeff Reinbold came in here on Friday and you saw his tweet. Thanks, Rod, for sticking up for our league. And I'm like, I don't see it as sticking up for the league. This is my fundamental big problem that I have with what's going on in the CFL office right now. And the owners, they want to run around and act like they, and don't put the rant thing up here because this isn't really a rant, but they want to act like they're Robert Kraft light. But you're just not. And I'm all about, and I think you are too, because we talked about this in breaks, just being authentic. Just be you. The CFL, you're enough. You're great enough. You don't need to jump off a bus and pretend you're OBJ with medallions hanging. I mean, I know CFL players that have the fake earrings that want to make it look like they're the real earrings, but they're not. So just be you. Because the product is good enough.
Yes.
And if the people in Vancouver and Toronto don't want to gravitate, that's their problem. They're missing out on a great product. They want to go to MLS games because that's where the thing is to be seen. Enjoy the 0-0 game, and I'll be enjoying the Daron Carters of the world and the Cody Fajardos of the world, because I get, it's enough for me. So there's my take, and I just don't... The CFL needs to get back to realizing what they are instead of running around trying to be something that they're not. Your take.
Yeah, and with attention and coverage, that relationship becomes a bit of a chicken or an egg. Do people not care because there's not the same coverage of it, or is there not the same coverage because people don't care? And I know that, like, we deal with that kind of question all the time when you're dealing with web data and analytics, when you compare what stories are being well read and what stories aren't. But I can tell you, just from my perspective, more people are still talking about, from what I'm seeing online in Leader Post world, more people were paying attention to our Tkachuk story still than
the Brady Tkachuk story.
Then Touchdown Atlantic stuff when the news broke. And that's the weird thing about the way that
but we can
CFL
see it now.
But news kind of leaks out. Like, you do kind of get that diminished reaction, because I know word had kind of been percolating about Touchdown Atlantic for a little while. But when the announcement's made, it didn't seem to get the same excited response. I know I was, from a news perspective, and it's cool and exciting to see what interest it's going to build for the Schooners. But there wasn't the same reaction that I've seen to a lot of Rider news in past years. That's just what I saw online.
See, and that's why you and I could talk about this for days. Your dad and I spent hours on road trips talking about this 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Now here we are with the digital age.
Yeah.
Well, Joel Azzito down in New York says, make the WHL great again, Rod. Here's the thing, Joe. It's not up to me. I've moved on. Darren and I were talking about it in the car last night when we left the SJHL showcase. It's not my problem anymore. Dub, you need to do this. You don't even have a TV deal. What did I say last week? The SJHL has been very aggressive. They got a TV deal. You know, they had a Connor McDavid-ish goal last night in the showcase by Michael Sartor of the MJHL. I just saw it. It's all posted to social media this morning. They're with it. So I don't go to bed at night worrying more anymore about what's going to sell CFL tickets, what's going to sell WHL tickets, because it's been made very clear to me, Rod, we got it. Okay. Good luck. We're going to bed at night wondering how we're going to make this show great. Because they got it.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility to make the WHL great again. It's the WHL's responsibility. I just don't see it happening. Sorry.
How much pressure do you think should be on the individual teams, Roddy? We talk about
the pressure's on all of them. They're together.
We talk about the social media teams, like, for individual teams. How much pressure do you think should be on them to attract a new audience? Do you think there should be any?
Well, of course. But the thing is, they have to work together, bring people in that have been there. How much pressure's on them? Because I know of the business people coming in and pounding their fists and saying, make it happen, sell tickets. I know it's happening. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of pressure. Where's the pressure coming from? Is it from the fans? Is it from the owners of the team? I don't run in those circles anymore. You know, I know this. We did that showcase, and the attendance was double and triple what it was last year. The rink was full.
And how many people were watching online, commenting from Manitoba? Now they want the event to be in Manitoba. Right? So, like, why don't we get this here? People want it. They want to expose it to new markets. That's how it's going to grow. It's not necessarily about always having the butts in the seats right away. You can invest in it, but the TV helps. All of a sudden, there's more people there. Now there's more people paying attention to it. Now other markets want it there as well. So it's pretty exciting. But the SJHL is very aggressive. Sometimes they're not making the most money on each deal, but overall, it's turning into wins. And that's what you like to see.
That's how you build. Grassroots, organic. Get people invested. If they're coming out, like, if there were bodies there, that butts in the seats is a big thing, because we can all kind of look on our feeds and click, and I know that that's what we're doing right now. But getting butts in seats is great.
Well,
because they're still going to pay attention online and in all those conversations.
I know we got to wrap up, but yeah. it's it comes back to what you said about the CFL. You're good enough. Self-awareness. Be yourself. And, you know, for leagues, you might want a big rights fee, or you might have had that in the past. Or I mean, it doesn't matter how it was. It's how it is now. And sometimes you're not going to get all the money that you used to, or you're not going to get the same treatment, or it's not going to be delivered in the same way. But still, find a way to get it done and get it back to the people and build the game back up.
I don't know. I appreciate it. The question, Tyler says, the SJHL has it figured out. They're putting their money where their mouths are, and it's working. It's just not really my passion anymore. And I have had owners and GMs say to me, hey, Rod, how do we do this? You need to have a face-off breakfast at the start of the year. Sell tickets. Have your team there. Shake hands with all the sponsors and fans. It's like, hello? Quarterback luncheons. Connect the fans with the teams, with the players. They don't want to do it. So I'll focus on this. Good luck. Thanks, Austin. Appreciate it, man. Oh,
of course,
it's a lot of fun.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me in.
We'll be back with Overtime in a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the overtime segment. It will be brief-ish. Can you put up tomorrow's show, people? Clark? The overtime segment is brought to you by Emerald Water, and this is where we talk about sports on tap, what's going on tonight. There are no WHL games tonight. Last night, the Warriors got pounded at home 7-1 by the Lethbridge Hurricanes. A lot of the scouts that are at the showcase were headed to Moose Jaw last night after that evening or afternoon showcase game. They didn't see much of a game. Lethbridge 7, Moose Jaw 1. Oil Kings beat Swift Current 5-3. I'm going to be investigating this story. Is this the best Oil Kings team ever? That's what they're starting to say.
Wow.
In the hockey circles. Spokane beat Everett 3-2. And there are no games in the SJ tonight as everybody went home from the showcase. They'll get back to work. I believe I saw tomorrow is the next game. So that's the balancing act of between football, hockey, hockey, football. We probably could have spent two solid hours on the CFL All-Star Game, which came up just out of the blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
All in a rush, in a hurry, like a volcano. But people wanted to talk hockey today, too. It'll be all football tomorrow on Football Friday. But I don't know, man. I guess this is where I'm sitting. It's great for us to talk about the CFL All-Star Game, but where's the appetite? Like James Wilder Jr., Clark says, is tweeting about it. Derek Dennis is tweeting about it. Do the guys understand that this has been tried and it failed? Is it worth trying again? That's what we're kind of getting to the bottom of here.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. If it failed once, have you given it enough time so that it's worth trying again?
Well, it's been 30-some years.
I think you have. You have a new market. You have new demographics. You've got, you know, new media. You've got new ways to communicate. I think it's worth giving it another try and see. And then you'll know if it's going to work or not. But you can't just do a one and done either. You got to commit to 3 years of it, commit to 5 years of it, and say, hey, we're going to do this a few times, and we're going to see if there's a real appetite for it. And I think if you do it right and you showcase the players, it could be really great. I really do.
Paul is watching in Red Deer. He says, there is one game tonight. Thanks, Paul. You're right. It's the Everett Silvertips at the Vancouver Giants. Thank you, Paul, for that. So there's your sports on tap, which I didn't read the liner either. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get $20 gift card to use in the brew house. Stop by and see them today. Pasqua and Rochdale here in Regina. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, this is the fastest 2 hours on TV. Great show as usual, Rod. From Brady, I love this show. Maybe one day this show will get so famous that we can get a Lynch and Stephen A. Smith segment. Wouldn't that be a great idea? John Lynch will be here tomorrow. John Frenzy. See what he's all worked up about. And we'll delve into more of these issues like the Bombers targeting Zach Collaros in free agency over Matt Nichols. I feel like we didn't get too deep on the show today. And that's fine. The show's supposed to be about fun and about a coffee talk discussion.
That's what we have.
And if that's the case, that's what we accomplished.
Isn't it? A lot of going around, a lot of this, not a lot of results. Like, not a lot of decisions made, right? But we decided we needed at least, you know, we've packaged up the All-Star game. Now it's up to the CFL to take what we've come up with and run with it. We've been the exploratory committee today.
Well, see, and people are figuring this out. This is the 162nd episode. Yeah, 162nd episode of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. Rachel writes it on the Facebook wall and says, when will this game be played? Can't be at the end of the year because the only covered stadiums don't have the CFL attendance to make it work. See, she missed out what we were talking about earlier. She says, P.S. would love to see it done, though. We're talking about Vancouver Island, where today it's +8. You could conceivably play the game in February on Vancouver Island. Why not? It's a neutral site. Expose the product to a neutral site. But here is the problem. We talk about it for 2 hours, and then it's going to be circulating in the CFL head office going, people are going to be writing in going, oh, we understand you're having an All-Star game. They're talking about it on the Rod Peterson show, and they're like, ah!
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yes.
Believe me, that happens, and then I'm viewed as a pain in the butt. So it's just fun to talk about, I guess. That's why I said we'd like to do it all up in a presentation and give it to the CFL. Do they even want one, Darren? We don't even know if they do.
Yeah. We don't even know. That's the thing. It's about, you know, if they would want one or not.
What's up? What's on your phone? Who do you need to... know. What are you doing?
What's that?
Who do you need to get back to?
Business.
Okay, Darren's got to do business.
Time to go.
We got to go. Yeah, just in time, Jeff writes in. Jeff Sabilis. He says, is Paul Maurice going to be fired? We'll talk about that tomorrow. On a football Friday, John Frenzy will be with us. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith. Ottawa Red Blacks special teams coordinator, Bobby Dice. Bryant Mitchell of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And former CFL receiver, Ryan Thelwell. Nice job, Clark.
Wow, what a show.
Lining that up. That's a big one. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, right here on Facebook Live.
Ho. Oh, what's off the rim?
A sizzler.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.